Today we'll continue our message on the greatest commandments. Let's read God's word together. Maybe let's all stand up to read God's word. It's God here, so let's stand up to show our respect to God's word. Let's read together Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 31. 28.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard him debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one,
answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Please be seated. So today we will learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves. See how cute the babies are? They're neighbors and they're loving themselves, although they look different. There is a class, and it's a creative writing class, and in that class, the teacher gave an assignment to write I love you in 25 words or less. Maybe you can try it yourself, but without saying I love you. Try to write in 25 words or less I love you, but without using I love you. And one of her students, the teacher only gave 15 minutes to do this assignment in class. So one of the students took the first 10 minutes trying to figure out what to write. And she was looking at the ceiling and she was not feeling comfortable, wriggling in her seat, trying to write something. But during the last 5 minutes, she finally got it and she wrote very quickly. And later she read to the class the result. What do you think she wrote? Exactly 25 words. The first phrase is this, or sentence: Why, I've seen knots worse hairdos than that, honey. See? Why, I've seen knots worse hairdos than that, honey. So it looks like she had a bad hair day, and then her husband said, that's okay, I mean, that's not too bad. And then the second one: These cookies are hardly burned at all. She tried to make cookies and she burned the cookies, but the husband said, these cookies are hardly burned at all. I'll pleasantly eat them. And then the third one, it was really cold that day, and the husband said, cuddle up, I'll get your feet warm. See, she didn't say, I love you. And yet, her husband expressed his love to her in words that's even more practical than just saying, I love you. I know some of you have been reading the book Mere Christianity. The author of Mere Christianity in the book said, do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets in life. When you're behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. And if you don't like someone and you keep thinking about how much you don't like that someone, you will find yourself disliking him even more. If you do him a good favor, you will find yourself disliking him less. So even someone you don't like, don't keep thinking about the bad things he has done to you. Instead, try to do something good to him. Do him a favor, and you will start to actually like him. So that's a great secret in life. Love is an action. Love is other-oriented. It's not just about talking, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's about action and doing someone a favor to help someone else. So today we'll learn how to love so that the receiver's needs are met. But let's do a review of what we learned, and I want to capture some very important concepts before we continue. According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, it says, we love because he first loved us. We love because God first loved us. Okay? We cannot initiate as I mentioned before, unconditional sacrificial love from ourselves. It's because God is the source of such love. He loved us first. He set a good example, and then we can follow that example after receiving such love. And verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, this person is a liar. If you say, I love God, and yet you hate one of your brothers or sisters here, I'm telling you, you are a liar. You don't really love God. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So, from this we see four important things. First, God first loved us. God is the source of unconditional and sacrificial love. Second, in response, we love God. Third, to show that we love God, we love the people God loves in action. Fourthly, in the process, we give glory to God. When we are trying to love someone, help someone out, people will appreciate us and say, thank you, you're so nice, and say other good things to us. But that's the time we say, thank God for that, because He loved us first. Giving glory to God and not giving glory to ourselves when we are loving people, then you are just, you know, through helping other people, benefiting yourself. So, loving God is the most important and the ultimate goal for loving people. And it's the greatest commandment of all. As we learned last time, we don't love people for the sake of loving people. That's not our ultimate goal. I love this person because I love this person, and then that's the purpose of my loving that person. And leave God out of the formula. It is crucial that we understand this. Or otherwise, we are not loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And we have made people God. That's idolatry. If you don't love God and you just love people, then people has become God in your life. That's what God doesn't want to happen to in our life, because He wants us to love Him. He is the ultimate source of love. But how do we love our neighbor as ourselves? First, love with the right heart. Love with the right heart. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says that, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Do you know what hypocrisy means? It's doing something outside nicely, but inside it's all wicked. You're inconsistent when you are hypocritical, okay? But God wants us to love without being hypocritic. And God wants us to abhor or hate what is evil and do and cling to what is good. Let me tell you a story about a true story, welterweight boxing champion. On one occasion, Norman Kidd McCoy, who was welterweight boxing champion in 1896, he was fighting a contender, but he heard that this contender had hearing problems. He was deaf, okay? He couldn't hear well. But initially, he didn't know that. But immediately after realizing that, he tried to take advantage of that. And they were fighting. Near the end of the third round, McCoy, knowing that his opponent was deaf, he pretended to step back a pace and then pointed at the corner. The opponent would rest. That's where the bell would ring. Okay? And then the opponent thought, oh, the bell rings. That means it's the end of this round, okay? So he thanked him, thank you very much for telling me that. And then he tried to back up and then turn around, and immediately McCoy knocked him out. See, sometimes in our life, we will act like this, we act nicely to people, but in the end we try to take advantage of people, actually knock people out, and then maybe do something to hurt that person. It happens, don't laugh at that, because it's a real story, and sometimes we do this in a similar way to our friends even. Okay, or people we don't like, but we pretend to be nice, and then in the back, we do something that hurt that person. So whenever you offer to help anyone, check if you have pure motive. Are you doing it out of love of God? thankfulness to God, not the reward you can get from helping this person, not that you can take advantage of that person, not that you can hurt that person. So always check your motives when you try to help people. But not only should we have the right heart to love people, we should also have the right attitude. Now we go from the heart to the mind. What does it mean to love with the right soul and the right mind? In our soul, we need to be sincere. In our mind, we need to show respect to the person we're trying to help or get along with. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says that rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When people are happy, you want to share their happiness. You are also happy with them. That's an expression of love. But when people are in sorrow, something happened, an accident, and your friend is in trouble, maybe a close relative passed away in her family or his family, and she's really sad, weeping. You weep with her. That's an expression of your love for her. Put yourself in her shoes or his shoes. Second, you need to love with the right soul and with also the right mind. What does it mean to love with the right mind? You show respect to the person that you are getting along with. You need to know what's the right thing to do and put your will in action. There was a mother who was preparing breakfast, actually pancakes for her sons. There were two sons. The elder son is Kevin, 5 years old, and the younger one is 3 years old, and his name was Ryan. And then the boys began to argue who would get the first piece of the pancake made. And the mother saw the opportunity to teach them a moral lesson. And the mother said, if Jesus were here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can't wait. But how did the brothers responded? Kevin, the elder brother, turned to the younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. Okay, so the elder brother actually know what's good and try to keep that to himself and let the other person not to have what is better. So that's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Give what is better to someone else, not keeping that to yourself. We have that Christmas child operation, and we are supposed to give gifts in shoeboxes to the kids, right? And one of the rules is that you don't give these kids used toys you don't want to throw away, and then you give that to these kids, although they might still like it because they are so poor, they might not even have ever seen those used toys that you don't like anymore. But to really show that we love those kids, we go buy new toys. Maybe some toys that we want to buy for ourselves, we buy it for those kids. That's a way to show your love to these kids. Giving what is good, you like to people, not something that's second, not as good, and then you give that to someone else. So, loving someone with your soul and with your mind is trying to do things for the other person. That means you love this person as she or he is. You need to accept that person. That's another way you love with your mind. You know about this. You know about this person. This person is acting in ways different from you, but that's not wrong. And you're often trying to change that person so that that person will be more like you, so that you can hang out. So because people who are similar, usually they'll come together. But God designed each one of us in a very unique way. We don't try to change our friends when we are together, but we try to accept who they are and try to bring out the best in our friends. When we are talking to our friends, I noticed that some people, before I even finish one sentence, they'll start interrupting me and then say something else, okay? Or maybe you have experienced that. When someone is talking, you let that person talk. And that's a way to show your love to that person. Respect, okay? So you want to create a sense and atmosphere that whatever idea, whatever suggestion, whatever feeling your friend is trying to express, you are willing to accept and listen and respect. Allow the other person to become a star once in a while. Sometimes your friend will tell a joke that's not really funny, okay? And then you try to top your friend, tell something funnier, and then you become a star. Then you're not loving your friend because you try to show that you're better. You're trying to show off. Sometimes let your friend be a star, although your friend might not be that good with speech, okay? So that's a way to show love to your friend. Try to cultivate kind ways of speaking. It can be as simple as asking someone, could you help me with this? Instead of, do this for me, do this for me. Because you are the superior, maybe at your work, you're the supervisor, and then you just ask whoever is under you, do this for me, do that for me, and then just turn away without even greeting that person, smiling at that person. So try to ask people to do things for you when you need help. And be prepared if that person says, no, I can't help. But still, thank that person for considering at least. Okay? So, show such gracefulness when you are asking people for a favor. Let's think. Is there anyone in your life that you're trying to change instead of loving him as he or she is? In your conversations with others, do you show your love by being willing to listen without interrupting while that person speaks? Are you asking people to help you respectfully instead of telling that person, like commanding that person, like you are the superior? For example, to your younger brother, you don't just boss around with your younger brother. You still treat your younger brother with respect, as in the picture, and sincerity. Thirdly, we need to love with the right strength. Our money, and using the gifts, and also the strength we have to help people who are in real needs. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, it says that, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us love with words. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Let us not just love with words or with our tongue, saying that I love you when people are in need. You just turn away, even if you can't help. After the church service, there was a little boy who told the pastor, Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. Well, thank you, the pastor said. But why? Because my daddy said you are the poorest pastor in our church we have ever had. See, even a little child knows that when a pastor who is poor, who is in need, is willing to give when he has the money. I'm not saying that our previous English minister is poor, okay? But he is in a situation he has financial needs. He just had a new baby, Kyrene, okay? And he's studying full-time, and he's working part-time, and he also has two kids to take care of, and I believe his wife, Christine, is not really working, but spending all the time taking care of the two kids. So they have great financial needs. And that's why later, Wendy would ask you if you want to maybe chip in to buy a gift for Minister Pang. They just had a new kid. So if you do have the money, or in other ways, you can show your appreciation or support for them, then what's holding you back? Unless you don't really love them. That if you really love them, you would use even money or what you have to help someone who is in financial need. A little bit more than 500 years ago, in a little village in Germany, there lived a very kind couple. They had a child, but the child died at a very early age. There was a very sad incident in their life. But on a freezing night, this couple heard someone on the street singing. And this person was getting closer and closer to their house. When they listened closely, they noticed that it was a little kid singing. What was this little kid singing? The kid was singing, "The fox is back to its den. The birds are back to its nest. But still one human wandering homelessly on the street." It's just a little kid, homeless, wandering on the street. The couple felt very sorry for this little kid and decided to open the door and take a look at the kid. Then they saw a poor kid wearing shabby and torn clothes. The kid saw them and said, "Dear sir, dear man, could you, for Jesus' sake, help me?" And the couple said, "Kid, come into my house." The kid kept thanking God while following them into the house. They asked the kid to get closer to the fireplace to be warm because it was freezing, and they cooked some hot food for the little kid. From their conversations, the couple found out that this kid was the son of a very poor miner, someone who works in a mine, like a coal mine. The kid was a dedicated believer of Jesus, although he was so young. He was so determined to study theology in the future to serve God. It was getting very late, so the couple said, "It's time to go to bed. Let's talk some more tomorrow." And after that, the couple had much discussion about what they should do about this. How can they help this little kid? And they decided that they would adopt this kid and would support his future studies. The next morning, they told the kid. The kid was so happy. He was so happy and thankful that he continued to thank God and thank the couple. Do you know what's this kid's name? This kid changed history. His name is Martin Luther. This kid, who was born on November 10th, 1483, and later became the one who helped to found Protestant Christianity. We are Protestant Christians, different from the Catholic, Roman Catholic Christians, because he saw that the Roman Catholics were practicing something non-biblical at that time, and he stood up to protest. That's why we are called Protestant Christians. We protested. Okay, what was not right? Is there anyone in your life who is in distress because of loss of a job, having some financial need? How can you help? Is there anyone in your life who is away from his family and feeling lonely? How can you help? The way that this couple helped Martin Luther, and God used them to help Martin Luther so that he could bless so many people. To be certain that we can be saved by grace, not by all those rituals that people were doing in the Catholic Church. People were saved because Martin Luther, there was a couple who was willing to adopt him and help him to support his studies in theology. But the most difficult way to love our neighbor is to love our enemies. Have you watched this movie? How many people watched this movie? It's a good movie, and you guys haven't... What? It was out on June the 29th. It was during your summer vacation, so you should have watched that movie. So this little rat, he wanted to be a chef, and he saw a human being in need, okay? He who was poor, couldn't cook, so he knew how to cook. So he tried to help that human being. But whenever someone saw the rat, they would try to, you know, kill him, okay? So, but still, he did not just run away from human beings because human beings were so nasty to him. And instead, he continued to love the human beings and help that young man. And then later on, they worked together to start a new restaurant, helping to cook wonderful food for many, many people. Although maybe many people didn't know it was the Red and some of his friends who cooked the meal. So it was a very, very inspiring cartoon. You guys should go watch it. But in the Bible, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it says that, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." During the Second World War, there was a pilot whose name was James Taylor, and he was commanded to bomb a place in Japan. It was Second World War, and Japan was trying to conquer the whole world. And as a result, the United States sent some fighter planes to bomb somewhere in Japan, okay? But on his way back, there was a problem with his plane, and he had to stop, and he landed in an area already conquered by the Japanese. What happened to him? He was captured, and he was sent back to Japan, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment in a concentration camp where you live a life that they cannot imagine. You'll be tortured, you'll be treated like a pig. And he received the cruel punishment or treatment by a prison guard. James Taylor was a Christian, but in his prayers he asked God to remove this prison guard from his life, take his life away, okay, so that he will not cause suffering in other people in the concentration camp. But the more he prayed about it, the more he felt unpeaceful in his heart. He knew, how would God answer my prayer to kill someone? God is so loving, he will not answer my prayer, although that's my enemy, he's causing harm to so many other people. And he remembered that Jesus said, "Love your enemy. Love your enemy." Then he changed his prayer for this prison guard. And he started to pray for the prison guard to ask God to forgive this prison guard because he didn't know what he was doing in his sinful nature. After the war, James Taylor was released because Japan lost the war. So James Taylor was released and sent back to the United States. He went to a seminary to study theology in order to become a full-time minister for God. And after he graduated from seminary, he had a chance to revisit Japan, and he wanted to visit his prison guard. And he was able to find this prison guard who tortured him in the concentration camp. When the prison guard saw him, he was scared, knowing that this was the person he tortured before. He thought James Taylor was there to seek revenge. But James Taylor said, "Don't be afraid. I'm also a sinner forgiven by God, just like you. I'm here to invite you to hear God's good news for you. Come to tonight's meeting." In the evening, the prison guard went to the meeting he was invited to. During his sermon, James Taylor said, "I've been to Japan two times. The first time I brought bombs. But this time I've brought the gospel, the good news of peace of Jesus Christ. Please believe in Jesus as your personal savior from your sins punishment. Jesus asked us to love one another." The Japanese prison guard was so touched by the message and also touched by what James Taylor did to him. Okay? He was James Taylor's enemy, but James Taylor still loved him and wanted to share the best news with him so that he could be forgiven and have eternal life too. He was so touched, he confessed his sins to God and believed Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And then he and James Taylor actually became friends and actually brothers in Christ. As James Taylor often said, "The most beautiful thing in the whole world is that enemies can become friends. The most beautiful thing in the whole world is enemies can become friends." Do you have an enemy in your life? Maybe not like the prison guard. Someone pointed to the neighbor. Love your neighbor, okay? Love your enemy if you think that's your enemy. If that person is really treating you badly, still pray for that person so that he can be your brother in Christ and maybe your closest friend. That's the most beautiful thing in life. Love is a very funny thing. The growth of love does not depend on what someone does for you. It is in direct proportion to what you would do for someone else. Okay? But many people are getting that all wrong. When they are in a relationship, either friendship or marriage relationship, they often try to ask someone to do a favor to them. If they don't see that person continually doing favor to them, they'll think that person no longer loves me and I'm no longer loving that person. Maybe let's get divorced. That's why in this country, maybe in the whole world now, two couples getting married in the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, one couple will get divorced. Because they don't understand. Love is not about feelings. Love is not about what I can get, I can receive. It's about what I can give. The more you give, the more you will also start to feel that you actually love that person too. I know, if not all of you, most of you would get married in the future. And I hope that you will learn how to love by action, how to give, instead of depending your love on feelings, how I feel about that person, and how I want to get what I want to get from that person. Because if you do that, even if you get married, I'm sure you will either get divorced or you will be in a relationship that's like a dead relationship. You're like strangers to each other. So what have we learned today? We have learned that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we do that? First of all, we need to understand that it's because God first loved us. He initiates this unconditional and sacrificial love to us. Then, after receiving this love, we have a good example to follow. And then, we love people around us, our neighbors. Because it's impossible for you to say you love God and yet you don't love your brother or your neighbor. You are a liar. If you don't like your neighbor, you don't love your neighbor, and you say, I love God, I read my Bible, but I just hate this person, then you are a liar. You don't love God. And when we're trying to love someone or help someone, we try to give glory to God, not to ourselves. So that I can be someone who will be respected, I'll be doing all kinds of charity work, everybody will be praising me. Then in some way you have become God. You're praising yourself, you get all the honor. And God is not getting any honor at all. And your love will not grow if you try to get honor yourself. And you become a selfish person. That's not true love. So we learned how to love people with the right heart, without hypocrisy. Be consistent. What you do outside should be consistent with what is inside of you. Don't put a nice face outside and inside you hate someone. Then you're being hypocritic. Second, we need to love people with the right soul and mind. We need to show sincerity and respect to people around us. Like these two kids. I really like this photo. They're very sincere and respecting each other, although they're so different. Many of us might, in some ways, even discriminate people who are African Americans. But they are also created by God. We are equal. We should also show respect to them. And when they have a need, we should help them too. And we should learn how to emotionally rejoice with those people who rejoice and also weep with those who weep. We should also learn how to respect others by giving preference. Give the better things to people, not what we don't want. Thirdly, we try to learn how to love God, love people with the right strength, with the money we have, with the gifts, material possessions we have. We use them to help people who have actual physical, financial needs. Fourthly, we learned it is the most difficult thing to love your enemy. But God said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. But how can we do that? just like it's impossible for us to initiate love for God. It's impossible for us to do all these things. After this message, you might have gotten more head knowledge, but you're not going to be able to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't even read your Bible, if you don't even pray to God and ask God to help you to act this out. Because by our very nature, we don't love our enemy. We don't love our neighbors. With our heart, with our mind, with our soul, we are very selfish human beings. We know how to love ourselves. But God wants us to love our neighbor like the way we love ourselves. How can we do that? It's only by God's power through prayer, through the Holy Spirit who is in us, who will help us to do that. Okay, so while you learn all these things, if you don't even have a relationship with God, all these things are useless to you. So let's pray and ask God to help us to indeed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your wonderful word. Without your word, how can we know how to love you and how to love our neighbor? And yet even if we know how to love you and love our neighbor, how can we actually put that into practice without your empowerment? Because in us, in even the sinners who have been saved by grace, there's still a sinful nature that tries to battle against the good things that God wants us to do. God, help us by honestly, sincerely praying to God on all occasions to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome the biggest obstacles to love our neighbor, even our enemy. We can love if we have the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Help us to learn how to, first of all, love you, develop an inseparable, close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ through our daily prayer time, quiet time to read your word and think your word about your word all the time, that we indeed would have the Holy Spirit's guidance to help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Bless us as we learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves, for you will be glorified. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.